Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm just checking in on our video feed, and it seems fine. One of our monitors is having a heart attack here in the studio. Flickering. I have laughed harder today than I've laughed in 6 weeks, by far.
And it started. You've had some laughs.
I know I've had some laughs. It started before I even came in here today. Because this is the horrible thing about sports people. Guys are calling me, making fun of other guys that are on this show. The way they look, what they say, what their backgrounds are, right? And we're just howling about that. And then, if you're just joining us for hour two of the Rod Peterson Show on this Friday, Chad Cackert. Am I the only one? Like, Jay and Dan, for years, have said, Chad Cackert. Right?
Yeah.
I assume they had some sort of affiliation or friendship. And so I asked him, you know, what do you think about Jay and Dan? Who? You can't even make that up. And the sad thing is, as I was thinking in the break, I don't think Jay and Dan are on the air tonight. I think they have Friday nights off and they work Sunday night.
Still,
we got to get this to them.
Oh,
Jay, I guess Dan. It can wait a couple of days.
Yeah.
And by the way, the two guys that they don't have egos, so they would find this hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Guys with huge egos would be upset and pissed off. These two would find it hilarious.
Oh, yeah. They think it's funny.
By the way, Michelle, our travel agent, writes in and says, dang, he was easy to watch. Thanks for the eye candy this morning. What about us?
Yesterday's news.
I guess we got our answer. My brothers texted me and said, whose news conference are you talking about? That we had to displace one of our staff to attend a news conference this morning because we were specifically asked to be there. The answer, Lee, is the Moose Jaw Warriors, who introduced one of their high draft picks this morning, and Clark was on the call. Chip Cox coming up. I'm blown away, too, by the way. Where the hell does Terry Vaughn come from? Out of the blue, Terry Vaughn answers our poll question today. The first CFL player to receive 1,000, to catch 1,000 passes, 1,000 plus. Terry Vaughn answers our poll question, which is for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. When did you become a fan of the CFL? Terry Vaughn says, 1995, when I came to the league. Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
From the Arizona Wildcats, and Terry Vaughn was, I particularly liked his restaurant in Edmonton. It was right downtown across the street from the Westin, so we used to go there all the time. Great food. You became a fan in the 90s.
Yep.
I became a fan in the 80s. Thanks for putting that up on the screen, Clark, for our viewers. What's the leader? 33% of you became a fan in the 90s. Sorry, 33% of you became a fan in the 80s. 33% of you became a fan in the 60s and 70s. 19% in the 90s, and 15% of you in the 2000s. It's interesting what a stark contrast it is from the Twitter respondents, isn't it? It's
yep.
Totally different. Tells you the age demographics of who's on what social media platform. Because on Twitter, 35% of you, which is leading, became a fan in the 80s. 28% of you became a fan in the 60s and 70s. 21% 90s, 16% 2000s. And the only reason I care is that The Atlantic posted that fan survey this week, and the vast whopping majority of fans to the NHL from The Athletic are in their 30s. They became fans in the 90s. What a difference. What does this tell you as a marketer that you are?
I don't know. It's tough because, like you said earlier on in the show, it should scare people if the majority of your fans found the game later. Ideally, as a marketer, I would think that you'd want a nice, even distribution, right? Just like building a hockey team. You don't want to just load up with 19-year-olds in a junior hockey team and have no 16, 17-year-olds for the future, because it tells me you're going to be really successful now, But as soon as those guys are done, you're done. And you got a big, tough rebuild to go through. You want to keep that wave after wave after wave. So you want to see an even distribution. So that scares me a little bit. But it also tells me that, you know, the fans, the younger fans are consuming the game in different ways. And you got to find a way to reach them.
Jason Wall in Winnipeg writes in. He says, 1980s, Blue Bombers, Cal Murphy era. And why wouldn't you? Didn't they win three Grey Cups, I believe, in the 80s? Winning helps.
Yeah.
It does to build a fan base.
Something wild just came into my head.
Sure.
That, you know, why not? They're so different. I mean, the bit of the older generation and the younger generation, and I would put myself in the older generation, still only in my 30s, but just because I fell in love with the game in the 90s a little bit earlier and, you know, tend to skew that way. But the guys who are in that maybe don't understand the younger demographic and exactly what they're, you know, tuned into and how they're consuming content, that's great. And there's still a bulk of the older group that's spending the money, buying the tickets, buying the jerseys, that are hanging on, love the CFL. You need to market to them the way you always have. But maybe you need a second marketing department that markets to the young people. And then that transitions once the older group is done, takes over, and you almost have, you know, kind of a development league of on the marketing side to hit the younger people, because they'll see it completely different.
Yeah. What's the word on Chip Cox? Oh, he's ready. Okay, for those that don't know, and of course you all do, I'm just going to read it anyways. Chip Cox, he's 36 years of age, from the C-Bus, Columbus, Ohio. We all know him as a Montreal Alouette, but before that, with the Detroit Lions in 2005, came to Montreal, went back to the league, Washington Redskins in 2007, and then came back to the Alouettes near the end of 07, and there was where he was a rider killer and spent 07 to 2018 with the Montreal Alouettes, and now is looking for his next contract, can still play at age 36, and he joins us today. How are you, Chip?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. Where are you joining us from today?
My house, Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, you're back in the C-Bus. Okay, I gotcha. Well, we just had Chad Kackert on with us last hour, a guy that you would have knocked heads with a few times back in the day. He's in Dallas. He gave us an update from there. So can you please tell us what life's like in Columbus, Ohio right now on day 43 without sports amid the pandemic?
Well, for us, you know, school's canceled for the year. Our business is shut down because we have a gym and we have a before and after school program. Also, so our businesses are shut down. My wife's a teacher. So it's almost like summer break, but we can't go anywhere.
How are the kids handling that, by the way? How are you dealing with the kids?
I mean, it's like summer break. We're just in the yard playing and, you know, they do their homework that they do have. But I enjoy it. I love hanging out with the family and the kids. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's good. Well, most of the athletes are saying the exact same thing. Is that a Columbus Crew hat that you're wearing, by the way?
It's a Columbus Clippers.
Baseball.
Minor league baseball. Yes.
I've seen that hat from somewhere. I'm not sure where. It might have been from Wes Cates. But,
I was going to say, it might have been me, because I wear it all the time.
Yeah, it might have been you. At a day before walkthrough or something like that. So, Chip, so you're in the States. How closely are you following what's going on in the Canadian Football League right now with whether there's going to be a season or not? And then if there is, are they opening the border? Because you want to play. So can you give me your status right now following the CFL?
I followed a little bit as far as the training camps being pushed back and things like that. And, you know, that's about it. I haven't followed much because it's kind of hard for me. You know, it's hard to watch because I still have a passion to play and I can still run pretty good and I can still, you know, do everything that I've always done. So if I couldn't do those things, it'd be a little easier, but I can still run and I can still do the things that I've always done. So it's hard for me to watch. So I don't keep up with it as much as I should. So yeah.
Well, the thing is, Chip, is we've had so many guys on of your age and experience. I'm thinking of a Marcus Ball, Otha Foster, Brian Peters, if you remember him. Guys that, frankly, at the time being in the economic climate of the CFL, squeezed out because of money. The interesting thing is, a lot of those guys got signed later in the year because they found out, teams found out that they're not irreplaceable, and that's kind of where you fall right now. I mean, but I can't think that you're going to come back for the
you know, for a bad deal, right? I mean, what is you must do you have a figure in mind?
I don't have a figure in mind. I'm not worried about money. I play football for the passion. I never played football for the money. It wasn't enough money if you look at the risk reward ever. You know, you're putting your body on the line, you're taking years off of your life. It was never ever about the money, and it never will be, because to play a game at the way I played it and to put as much into it as I did, you have to love it. And you know, people throw love around, but love is unconditional. And you if you whatever they, it's not, yeah, it's not about the money. I just would love to play.
Well, and I know that you have a lot to offer too, by the way. As a guy that was the voice of the Rough Riders for 20 years, about half of that you were tearing it up with the Alouettes. You had absolutely zero regard for your own body. I mean, flying all over the field, putting your head in there. I'm actually surprised that you're not ready to walk away yet, given the wear and tear on your body. Like, I guess you've had a year to heal. How do you feel physically and mentally?
Physically and mentally? Mentally, I'm going a little crazy because I don't have the release to, you know, I got to hit people for a living. Physically, I've only had one injury that kept me out of games my whole career. So physically, I feel great. I mean, and I've always had, except for the one knee injury that I took in 2017 that ended my season that year. But other than that, I mean, I feel great. I always have. You know, I've never woken up from a game the next day and it's like, oh, why'd I do that? Or I've always been fine. I've been lucky with that.
Good, Chip. You clearly look good. You got good things going on. You talk about the business and everything else, you know, down there in Columbus. So what was the moment? Where was the moment over the past year? How long ago was it where you're like, no, I still want to play. I still have to play.
It was always there. It was always there. And I had an ego for a little bit because it's like, how come, like, you know, I was like, I shouldn't have to call anybody or I shouldn't have to do anything because everybody knows what I can do. But probably around January this year, and I watched a couple games and I was like, you know what, it's not about anything. I need to drop the ego and just tell people, hey, I want to play football and I just want an opportunity to play football. So I battered that around I bounced that around with my wife for a couple months, you know, and then I called a few teammates, ex-teammates and stuff, and talked to them and was like, you know, I just share my feelings with them. And they were like, dude, you tell everybody, let everybody know you just want to play. You just want an opportunity to play and you don't expect anything, just an opportunity and a shot. And so that's what I decided I'm going to do.
Chip, I'm still so young, but that's one thing I know. If it's in you anywhere, you kind of got to do it. Otherwise, you'll always be thinking about it. It'll be a regret. So what type of player would teams be getting? Is it, you know, the old Chip Cox? Or do you change your style? Do you approach the game any differently? What's kind of your plan if you get back on the field?
Well, I mean, if you look back at 2018, I was a 14-year vet. I was playing two special teams. I was still doing very well on defense. I was still top of the league in my position. And then also the off the field thing. That's more, you know, because you can always get somebody that can run and play. But off the field, are you going to get somebody who's showing these young guys exactly what you should be doing? I mean, I've competed at a high level for a long time, and there's a reason why. And it's not because it's the things that you see. You just watch what I do and you come along and you'll see it. I can show you better than I can tell you. And if anybody who's been around me knows how well I've taken care of my body and how, you know, how much I love the game. So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get somebody who loves the game, who can run, who can tackle, you know, what you've seen on film for the past 13, 14 years. Also, the things that you won't see, the leadership and things like that. You know, I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to show you.
See, at the end, it was what I think. What I think teams would be getting.
I was going to say.
Yeah, is that guys?
You guys get to tell people how to play or how to do it, but actually to see somebody put in the work, it's totally different, and that's what I would be bringing.
That's what I mean. A worker and a guy that does it the right way. And actually, last year, I was sitting looking at this long list of veteran players that hadn't been signed yet. And, you know, Kevin Glenn was on it. And it's a long list. It's actually a Hall of Fame group. could have started a great expansion team. And I'm thinking, whoever signs Chip Cox is going to get a hell of a player. This must be money. And I'm sure the GMs are probably thinking the exact same thing. It's a shame that I think the Halifax expansion dream's gone up in smoke, because I think you guys all could have gone there right now and been amazing. But that's out of your control. Our producer, Clark, has a question, Chip. He says, Chris Getzlaff said Chip was the hardest DB linebacker to play against in his career. Who was the toughest receiver for you to cover and hardest receiver to take down in your career?
The hardest guy to cover, I'll just throw it right back to Chris Gethlack, because I mean, he always set up his waggle. He would always throw stem, like a different stem at you. He wasn't a very fast guy, but he was very tricky and crafty. So I mean, and then I also had SJ and Jermell Richardson in practice. You know, I had those guys in the Trustman era, and we were going against each other every day in practice. So, and then you had Kerry Watkins and Ben Cahoon. So, like, I got to see a group of different receivers every day in practice. So, it would allow me to hone my skills. But like I said, I mean, Chris Getzlaff would definitely rank at the top of my list. It's hard for me to think about that, but I'd throw his name out there, definitely.
For sure. Chip, we're kind of out of time, but I'm going to let you go. Anything else you'd like CFL teams, fans, anybody to know here?
I'm sitting here. I'm ready to play, man. I mean, that's it. If any GM is out there listening, let's not worry about the money. I'm not the guy that has to have a certain number, because I just want to play football. And if they're going to give me a chance – and I want opportunity. If you think you got a guy that can beat me out in camp, I'd like to see it.
Chip, thanks so much. Already a Hall of Fame career, but I'm with you that it's not done yet. So stay safe and hope to see you on the field soon.
All right, thank you. You guys have a good one.
Chip Cox joining us from Columbus. And I will say this, he's far more soft-spoken and well-spoken than I expected. Listen, he's going to give you a shot somewhat late. You know, just to know that he's there.
Yeah.
To finish the play. He wasn't a dirty player. He was a mean player.
There's a difference.
But he just came across as the one you would, you know, you want your daughter to marry.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Listen, I got so many thoughts. I got a break. I do have some Schooners things. Got some tips this morning on that. Got a lot to talk to, okay? And Bob Lancaster coming up, too, from Charlotte, North Carolina. You're not going to want to miss that. It's a Football Friday on the Rod Peterson Show. Sports update coming up, too, right here on Facebook Live. Coming soon to Game Plus TV Network and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup, and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
Now, what are the top five reasons people come to Suds?
Number five, our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number four, we knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number three, our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number two, you never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number one reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Hey, you! Have you subscribed to the Rod Peterson Show YouTube channel yet? Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now!
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We got Clark back in his chair. Jordan doing a great job directing in the absence of Clark, and we called Ryan in from sick bay to fill in for Clark because he was part of a news conference this morning. Busy times. Sports update. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have signed American running back Jeremy Langford. The 6 foot, 210-pound Langford was selected by the Chicago Bears in the fourth round, 106th overall of the 2015 draft. He's been around the NFL since then. He joins a crowded Riders backfield that includes two-time CFL Divisional All-Star William Colonel Powell, second-year man Jamel Morrow, former Seahawks runner Xavier Turner, along with Canadians Keenan LaFrance, Atlee Simon, and David Savard. A county in South Carolina has approved a deal loaded with tax breaks for the Carolina Panthers to move their headquarters and practice site to their city. News outlets report the York County Council approved the deal in a 4-3 vote. The NFL team would continue to play games, though, in Charlotte, North Carolina at Bank of America Stadium. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
I'd like to go there. Looks nice. I like that shade of blue. City looks really nice in the background behind the stadium, too. Have you ever noticed?
Yeah.
Of course, Cam's gone, though. That would have been the reason I wanted to go.
I know. That would be tough.
We'll put it on the bucket list.
I don't know what the intrigue is right now.
Nothing. Forget I said it.
Yeah. Nice golf courses in Carolina.
Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson are staging another made-for-TV match. I know this is a day old, but I want to read it anyways.
Yeah.
This time they'll have company. Turner Sports confirms that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson will be joined by quarterbacks Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in this made-for-TV match. Turner says all donations and fundraising from the match will benefit relief efforts for the COVID-19 panic. Again, not breaking news, but anything pertaining to Tom Brady I'm going to mention. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. They feature free citywide delivery and curbside pickup. See their Facebook page for their takeout menu. And for big-time game shows, check out their Facebook page for details on the next live broadcast of North America's fastest-growing game show featuring magician Richie Roy. Search big-time game shows on Facebook. Did we get around too much NFL draft talk?
Not a lot.
Did you have some thoughts? Now, were you able to watch much of it?
No, but I caught up. I followed. I mean, the Titans got a tackle from Georgia. I know that. Isaiah Wilson, this guy's huge. He said his only problem is, his only thing right now that's a problem is fitting through doors. That was his answer. He's like 6'7" or 375 pounds or something like that. So they got him to protect Ryan Tannehill with Taylor Lewan. That's nice. You got a receiver in Dallas who's pretty good. And they were talking about Jerry Jones, how he was at home by himself. So nobody could tell him what to do. Jerry was going to do what Jerry wanted to do. And
as usual,
somebody commented on Twitter that party that Jerry's having, that's a party for somebody who he's going to draft to score touchdowns. He ain't drafting a linebacker or an offensive lineman. He's drafting somebody to score touchdowns. And now they talked about the weapons with Gallup and Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys are ready to roll.
Yeah, well, a lot of the Cowboys nation would have liked to have seen them sign some defensive players, and there was defensive guys available.
Yep, and everything
they
else.
They had to get the flashy guy.
And everything else rolled pretty much as expected. We thought the Dolphins would take Tua. They did. Herbert goes to the Chargers. That's not a surprise. They need to replace Phillip Rivers. So now there's some intrigue there if Justin Herbert can play well. But he comes from that Oregon system, and they've had some trouble developing pro quarterbacks. And then it was the Green Bay Packers, the other story. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure he's not happy that they drafted his replacement in Jordan Love, but they have never drafted him any help. Again, 15 straight years without drafting a receiver or a running back in the first round. It's like you got a perennial Pro Bowl quarterback, one of the best in the league, and you're not giving him any help, but he seems to have done all right without it.
Yeah. Well, I can't get over what people are saying. Where's the love for Aaron Rodgers? Like, people understand, don't you, that life's a real big wheel. And that whole term of what goes around comes around. There was not a lot of love for Brett Favre when Aaron Rodgers was drafted.
And they love you when you're in line for the Ferris wheel, that wheel you're talking about. They love you when you're in line because you're about to spend money and give them the ticket. They love you. Get in, get in. But once you're up there, they're like, okay, time to get off. We got other people who want to pay. Get off. And
that's what it is.
That's the deal.
That's what it is. So I enjoyed the draft. And I will say this, you being a Titans fan, you see the stuff that's going on about Mike Vrabel, obviously. People are saying, what's going on at Vrabel's house, the coach of the Titans? Which, you don't think Mike Vrabel's like every other football guy? He's got a huge dip in there. I don't think he knew that the camera was on him, so he's lipping out his skull. I don't know who the two bookends were behind him. Were those his kids or something?
I think two kids
that looked like the Sedins? And then a guy on the toilet in the background.
The door open.
With the door open. On night one of the NFL draft.
I got so many messages. People thought that was me in Vrabel's. What are you doing? Shut the door while you're going number two. It's pretty good.
Yeah. The guy was doing a number two. And the thing was, like any frat house, what do you think's going on? It's why would it be any different? Just because he's the head coach of an NFL team.
He was a player.
That's what I mean. Any locker room, whatever. So one of the headlines that I saw, I think it was from Bleacher Report this morning, might have been The Athletic, was, what the hell's going on at Vrabel's house? I'm saying probably the same thing as what's going on at your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was kind of the point on that.
Same thing.
And I mentioned, I haven't been making any calls or poking around on what's going on in the CFL right now, but my phone's been ringing, and I've been getting a lot of text messages about the Schooner situation, and for whatever, with LeBlanc leaving to go to the Senators, it is what it is. I don't believe that Gary Drummond is prepared, as I said on Monday or Tuesday, to lead this effort to bring the Schooners to fruition. I just don't think it's going to happen. And it's a shame, because had they been ready to play right now, you'd have had Kevin Glenn, Chip Cox, Otho Foster. You would have had a hell of a football team right now if you wanted to. And the one thing that I heard was that Mark Trestman had made a call probably shortly after the XFL shut its doors, that Trestman was interested in running or coaching the Atlantic Schooners, which really shouldn't surprise anybody at all. As Chip said, money's not a factor. Mark doesn't need money, doesn't care about money, just wants to be in football, right?
And it's a good position to be in.
So I think right now, Randy Ambrosi's got a lot of things on his plate, and the Schooners sinking is not just one of a bunch of crappy things right now. We could use some good news or some good stories. And for that, we bring in Bob Lancaster. We're going to Charlotte, North Carolina right now. The youngest of the Lancaster clan joins us on video chat. How you doing, Bob?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Today, we've been through Dallas and Columbus, and now we check in Charlotte. How are things in your household amid the pandemic, which I've counted up as day 43 without sports?
Well, I've got a teenager here with me, so we've been doing the quarantine thing, the social distancing thing, and probably getting on each other's nerves a little bit. We try to get outside for a little bit of a workout or stuff, but my yard's never looked better and my house has never been cleaner, so I guess there is a positive.
Yeah, right. Well, hopefully this ends soon. But as I've been saying this week, I think it's going to get wilder before we get better, because when we do get back to playing, people aren't going to like all the conditions and so forth. But, the last I met you at a Rider spring camp, was it 5, 6, 7 years ago? You were at Catawba College at the time, and I believe you're in high school now. Can you just introduce yourself to the viewers? By the way, this is Ron Lancaster's youngest son. Bob, since you left Regina, where your football journey's taken you?
When I left Saskatchewan, initially, obviously, when I came down to the States, that's why I did want to get into coaching. So I got into the high school ranks in Charlotte. And I always knew that I wanted to get into college coaching or higher. And at the time, my dad was with the Eskimos, and there was a Southeastern scout here who had a connection to a D2 college up, you know, around Charlotte area. It was Catawba College, so, you know, it was a good opportunity for me. I went and volunteered there. I worked at the high school during the day and went and coached college after school all day. And then that opened up a full-time job for me, so I went from, like, a running back coach to a tight end coach to the defensive back coach when I got full-time. And then I went to a special teams coordinator, and then fortunately in 2006, a guy on our staff, whose name was Jim Tomsula, he was the old coach of the San Francisco 49ers. At that time, he was in NFL Europe, and he became the head coach of the Rhine Fire, and he put some calls in for me, and I got hired by the NFL to go over to Europe for NFL Europe that 1 year with the Rhine Fire. I went back to offense then. And then when I came back, I went back to Catawba and was defensive coordinator and special teams coordinator. And 2012, you know, didn't have a great season, and things go in college football. If you don't win, a head coach gets fired and a new guy comes in and cleans house. So I went back to high school. And then about a few years later, Catawba called again and asked if I was coming back, if I would mind coming back in like a restricted earnings role. I would keep my job during the day at the high school, but come as a special teams coordinator for 2 more years. And of course I did that because I love the college atmosphere, and I like the higher competition, but I have a blast in high school right now. But after 2 years in college, I had to probably, with the hours that it demands of on-field, off-field, and recruiting, and the travel, my mom used to come down every year and help me out during football season, but she couldn't come down this 1 year. And I had to stop being at Catawba, and now I'm back at the high school again. And all those times in between there, I was probably guest coach up in Saskatchewan a few times, more than a few times. And obviously I was in Hamilton a couple of times also.
You know, by the way, Bob, our viewership comments have just exploded, and you might know some of these guys. John Ohm writes in. He says, I have not seen Bob since my days at Campbell Collegiate. Brett Taylor writes in, heck of a peewee hockey player too back in the day. Is there any hockey in Charlotte, North Carolina, Bob?
Not much. There's one ice rink that's kind of the south side of Charlotte, and that's more of a, you know, men's league kind of thing. When I first moved down here, I actually still liked to play hockey and still had my equipment. And the only league that was available for me was the ice rink that they had. They've torn it down now, but it was Eastland Mall. It was in the middle of the mall. And so I got my hockey fix going there, but they're just not a lot of hockey. They got the Carolina Hurricanes up in Raleigh, and you hear about them sporadically.
Well, you mentioned coming to the Riders training camp as a guest coach. What was the connection there? Who was on the staff that brought you in, and why?
The few times I was there, I know one time it was Eric Tillman when he was there, and with I forget the name of the head coach now, but he was there. I came another time. Davis Reed was there. I came another time when Chamberlain was there. I'm not sure if there's some times I've been in there, but I know I've been with the Riders 2 or 3 times, and just different times. I think it was different guys who have worked with my dad over the years. And I put a word out, and they got to the head coach or the GM at the time, like Brendan Taman helped me out getting there one time. So it was just a few things, obviously through my dad and just connections through the years.
Right. And I also remember Gary Echeverry in one of those years was either the defensive coordinator or the consultant, and I think you'd been spending a lot of time with Etch, at least at that camp. So what's next for you, Bob? Is the plan to go back to high school, or are you looking to a return to the CFL, or what's up in your life right now?
Right now, I'm at high school right now, coaching high school football, and I teach weightlifting with the football team during the day and in school, and then we get out of school, it's football. But as far as, you know, getting back into the college ranks, I think that is something I would like to do. Coming back to Saskatchewan or coming back into Canada that's home. I mean, I would never say never to that. That's always an idea that I would always entertain, and a chance to come back home. I do enjoy Canada. I enjoy telling people that I am Canadian. So football will always be a part of it. Like my daughter's going into her senior year of high school next year. So when she gets out of high school, you know, it might be an empty nester. So I'm probably looking to try to get back to maybe a higher level.
Life does change when they're out of the house, and it's so beautiful, Bob. I can tell you that. By the way, you've probably coached every position, but what's your specialty in football?
To be honest with you, whatever position that I get at the time, I fall in love with. I know when I first got into college and they named me tight ends coach, and I just came down from Canada and I was a quarterback, and I was not happy. But coaching offensive line and tight ends, it's so much fun. And then I went to running backs, and I loved doing that. And I went to receivers, I loved doing that. And then they put me full time, and I went to defense. First time I've ever been on the defensive side of the ball, let alone the defensive backfield. You know, they make a mistake, it's 6 points. So I was a little nerve-wracking with that. But then I fell in love with the challenge of that. And then I went to special teams. Now it's just, my gosh, I could try maybe call Reinbold or some guys in Canada and get some ideas and some guys' ideas down here in the States that I know. And then I fell in love with that because it's such a high risk, high reward position of, you know, when your punt team goes out there, just, I mean, you're so nervous about your, you want your guys to do well. So offense, defense, special teams, I just enjoy being on the grass with the guys, being in the meeting room with the guys, watching film, you know, reviewing tape, getting ready for the next opponent week to week. So there's not really a special one in my heart. I just enjoy being out there.
From our viewers, Normie Fong is watching, writes in. He says, it's been a long time since I visited with Bob. So there's one from Fongo for you. Craig Smith, our director of scouting, is watching, two-time Grey Cup champion. He writes in, CFL should hire Bob without a doubt. Chad Rennie, viewer, writes in, has Bob seen the statue of his dad at New Mosaic? Have you been up here since that was unveiled?
No, I haven't. And that's something I would like to see in person. Obviously, you get a picture maybe with me and my daughter at it. Obviously my sister has sent many pictures, and you know, that's an incredible thing. And I've gotten some pictures from a few of the players who play in the CFL who I coached at Catawba. LJ McCray, I actually recruited LJ out of Charlotte, North Carolina, to come to Catawba, and I coached him for the 4 years, so I know him. So he immediately, when he came to Saskatchewan, he immediately sent me a picture of him with the statue. And then there's the defensive back for Hamilton, Jamal Roll. Him and LJ played together at Catawba when I was the defense coordinator, defensive back coach. So I know those two well. When Jamal came to Saskatchewan for their away game in Saskatchewan, he obviously sent me a picture with him and the statue too, because he thought it was pretty neat.
Producer Clark has a question. He says, Mark Mueller is skyrocketing through the coaching ranks. How much has your nephew spoken to you about coaching, and did you ever have any advice for Mark?
I mean, Mark's just always been a student of the game, even when he was about 7 or 8. He knew more players probably than I did back then. So it's not a surprise to me how well he's doing and how successful he's been and how successful he still will be. He's a good guy to be around. He's a good football coach. Probably the only thing advice I ever gave him in life is not much. It's probably, I just remember him coming to the house when he was small, and we'd play shinny outside on the road and stuff like that, or go downstairs and box and stuff like that. But I don't give him much advice. He's pretty good on his own right now. He's surrounded by a pretty good cast.
Yeah, he's doing great for sure. Well, Bob, we'll let you go. And for our viewers that don't know, Bob's dad, Ronnie Lancaster, regarded as the greatest rough rider of them all. I always enjoyed saying that for sure. And that's a long list of guys. Bob, keep in touch if you don't mind. Good luck with everything. Stay safe. And hopefully we can do it again.
I appreciate your time.
You bet. Bob Lancaster checking in from Charlotte, North Carolina this morning. Hang on, everybody. We're going to update the poll results when we come back. Our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, when did you become a CFL fan? And it's not what you think. It's not, I'm not looking for your stories as to why. I just want to know the decade and the era. And is the CFL fan base getting older? Is it getting younger? Is it staying the same? We'd love you to vote on that. And we'll update those results when we come back. And also the Prairie Mobile text line is open. 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. We'll be back in a moment. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live and Listen Live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Friday morning, Football Friday. We're through all of our guests. This is going to be a very interesting vote for the Rockstar Supply Chain's Rockstar of the Day, because the guests were all rock stars. Chad Kackert inadvertently calling out Jay and Dan from TSN. Absolutely hilarious.
Instant rock star.
I think I'd vote for Kackert, but I'm not sure. Bob Lancaster was great, and the Facebook wall's been going off. Anytime you have a Lancaster on, it's going to get, you know, shivers going around here. And then John Frenzy's always a winner. And Chip Cox.
He was great.
Which reminds me, so Steve Dezio writes in, one of our viewers says, wow, that would be cool if Tressman could be named as the head coach GM of the Schooners.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and tie this all in together in this segment. Hold on to the thought of the Tressman. Prairie Mobile, or sorry, the Capital Automall Universal Collision Center poll question today. When did you become a CFL fan? The majority continues to be the 1980s. 35% of you voting for the 1980s. This is on Twitter. That's a result. Just Twitter. 28% before that, 60s and 70s. 21% the 1990s. 16% the 2000s. Facebook, it's a little different. 33% for both the 80s and the 60s and 70s. 90s, 19%, and less than that for the 2000s. You're seeing the difference of the ages of people that are on Facebook versus that are on Twitter. And Wally Buono, if you missed it, the guys were talking about how there's our interviews that are on YouTube and Facebook, the numbers are going up from way back. I don't know if it was this morning Clark was saying that or yesterday. I think it was this morning. Well, what a shock. Because people are running out of things to watch on Netflix. There's no good live stuff on, really. And they're going, oh, they had on Wally Buono? Oh!
Oh, they had on Corey Sheets. Oh, they had on all these greats. So Wally, my point in this, in the interview, which is a one-on-one at the Hotel Saskatchewan, it was awesome. Wally referred to the CFL as getting stale. Now, if I said the CFL was getting stale, I would be drawn and quartered and punched in the nards, you know, hung up by my eyelids and punched till I blinked. But Wally can say it because he's Wally. Now, I'm not comparing what I've done to what Wally's done, but we're saying the same thing. The exact same thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I think we all know how important it is for the CFL to get a team in Atlantic Canada with the Halifax Atlantic Schooners. And as I mentioned, I just heard this morning in a coffee chat on the phone that Mark Trestman had reached out to see the availability of a position with the Atlantic Schooners. I don't know that it's breaking news per se, but would it surprise you? Hey, every guy in football that's out of work's calling the Schooners looking for a job. And you got players sitting there, you got management people, coaches, scouts, my God. Problem being, correct me if I'm wrong, Halifax doesn't seem to want it. But we've got viewers in Moncton, New Brunswick, because they write in. And they're saying, why don't you come play in Moncton? Now, you haven't been to that stadium in Moncton. And thankfully, I was for Touchdown Atlantic last year. I know it only holds 11,000. They've brought in temporary seating. And it's nice. It's new, or at least it looks new. It's clean. 11,000. And then they could bring in the temp seating for 22,000. Play in Moncton. But I also get this. I'm not from there. I've only been to the Maritimes a few times in my life. I haven't spent much time. And they're saying, oh, it won't work. People from Halifax won't come to Moncton, but Moncton people will go to Halifax. I don't get it. It must be a Maritime thing. Seems kind of silly to me.
It does.
But whatever. But it's just, you know, everybody's, that's the difference in the mentality between me and several other, I guess, business people. Oh, we got to be big. We got to give off this. We got to look like this. You know what? How about putting your feet on the ground and playing football in a market in a stadium that's decent and get rolling?
Yeah. Get some players.
Sometimes less is more.
Get some players.
You got people dying for a 10th team. It qualifies as Atlantic Canada.
Yep.
Why not go play in Moncton? And I'll be honest with you, I've kind of not talked too much about this because it's like, hey, what the hell do I know? I'm just a prairie pumpkin hayseed stubble jumper. And that's fine. These guys are the big shot business people. Let them figure it out. And then the guy jumps ship and goes to the NHL.
Yeah.
Like I don't know.
I know. What are you supposed to do? There's enough players out there that you could make a really competitive 10th team. That's part of it when it comes to the CFL expanding. We'd love to have teams, you know, all across the league and have a bigger league, but, you know, do you have enough fans to fill the stadiums, and do you have enough good players to keep the quality of play up? I think there's more than enough good players. We've seen that. The guys we've had on the show, guys who are still out of work, think you could support another team. The fan base, that's the big question. Can you support it in Atlantic Canada? But bring it there and try. Get a team out, start to market it, and they will fall in love with it if you do it the right way. You just got to put in the work, get your feet on the ground, and start telling people about it. But, yeah, I just want to see it happen already.
I have no idea what the answer is. I don't know, and I've purposely been staying out of it. There are good people that are working with or for the Schooners right now, and they're just on their knees begging this to happen. And but it's just not. I don't get it. But the one thing about the Canadian Football League, what hurts me, and it hurts anybody that loves the league, is it's a man's league. And when I say that, it's not. I'm not saying it's not a woman's league. I'm saying it's a man's league. It's been around 100 plus years. It's, you know, you got to respect the longevity and the people that have come through the doors and played on that field. It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's a tremendous product, and I think it hurts us all that it's not being taken seriously in all regions, even of this country, let alone the continent. And that's not right. And who is standing up and fighting for it, I guess, is my point. I don't see anybody doing that.
No, I don't either.
To the Prairie Mobile text line, Brady in Saskatoon writes in, hey, Rod, who has the best jerseys in the NFL? I got the Seahawks, not being biased. Just think they're lovely jerseys. Well, that's Brady's favorite team. Here's the thing. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, as you know, have been since 1991 when I first laid eyes on Troy Aikman.
Yep.
When I left the farm. We didn't have cable out there. But I never really liked the jerseys. I got an Aikman jersey, got a Romo jersey, but I walked into the store in Cowboys Stadium, and I'm like, there's not really anything here I like.
I know.
I'm not in love with you. You don't see me wearing Cowboys gear.
Yeah.
I will put the Seahawks up there. I've got Seahawks stuff.
Yep.
I mean, it's a question for another day and another time. Might make a great bracket.
Yeah, it would. That would. For sure.
Make a great bracket. Maybe we should do that starting Monday because it doesn't look like anything's going to change. Off the top of my head, I mean, I got gear from a lot of teams. I've always digging this Buccaneers stuff. Dusted that out when Tom signed in Tampa.
Yep.
Yeah. Who's your favorite jersey? And don't say the Falcons. That's producer Clark. He's got to think about it. He's got to think.
Yeah.
Can you put a camera on producer
not in
Clark?
On Tampa.
From Nelson Hack. There he is, producer. That's Clark thinking. He can smell the smoke from Moose Jaw.
Chargers.
It took too long. He says Chargers.
The baby blues
by the Chargers. I like it. You know what? Your Titans are pretty. Now you say that.
I know, and they are.
I love the Titans.
They are really great, the Titans. But I want to come up with something that's not my team. But even like
say your team.
But I know what you mean about Dallas, because as a Toronto fan, I don't really have any Leafs gear because I look in there and I love that they've changed the logo back to the old Leaf. But I look, I'm like, I just don't love the gear. It's just not something that I just like the look of it, but I love the team. I hear you.
I don't see you wearing a lot of Leaf stuff, Clark.
I've never been a jersey guy.
Not a jersey guy. Yeah. You wear a Pats jersey though.
Yeah.
Donald Mitchell from Ottawa. Boy, you've been hanging in a long time today, Don. Eh? You're right from the start. I know it's a broken record, but our media center mocks the CFL all the time, and nobody there feels the need to stand up for it. But if the CFL fades, they'll be the first to ... They'll be the first to lament its demise. Oh, yeah. I guess that would be the question I'm going to send people into the weekend thinking of. Who's sticking up for the CFL in this country? Because I don't really see too many people. I don't.
Yeah.
And it deserves better. Alan Lee. Okay, we'll break and come back for overtime. Yeah, Alan the intern writes in and says, not my team, but those San Fran jerseys, black and red, are good. Colin in Ottawa says, Chargers, baby. Blues are the nicest in the NFL, and I'm a Jets fan. From the SJHL, question, who's got the best simulated unis in the hashtag SJ Canel to Sim. I'm kind of partial to the LaRons jerseys. I like those.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
So that, and we'll talk rock star of the day and more when we come back for overtime. Hang on, everybody. A big finish coming up. A real big finish. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Everyone loves a deal. Instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause, Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, we're back with Overtime for Emerald Water. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I have put the poll question up on Twitter. Who is Friday's RP show? Rockstar of the day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions. John Frenzy, Chad Kackert, Chip Cox, or Bob Lancaster? So far, zero votes because I just put it up. I'm thinking of our highlight reel whenever we did got to do those best of shows or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Chad Kackert, what do you think of Jay and Dan? Because they seem to be, you know, really enthralled with you. Who?
and then Jay and Dan. I thought you said Jay and Don. That's so funny.
Are we compiling a best of reel of these things?
Yeah, we need to get more and more on this.
Hey, Bryant Mitchell, what does your son think about Tom Brady coming to play with your dad in Tampa?
I just hope he doesn't cheat.
There's so many.
You making a note of those?
Well, I would hope somebody is. Jack Fulton writing in from Calgary. The RP show is sticking up for the CFL. Stick with it, Rod. Let it catch some momentum. Has to start somewhere. We're not giving up on it. But, man, it's getting heavy. Jason in Red Deer says, I always stick up for the CFL when my brother calls it the NFL Farm League. What the hell's wrong with that? That's one of the biggest problems with the CFL is they know what they don't want to be. They're not sure what they want to be.
Yep.
So who cares if it's an NFL farm league? Who talks noise about the AHL?
Nobody.
They respect it as a great hockey league. It's had so many great careers. People don't make fun of that.
They don't.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, everybody, and it's they celebrate what it is as opposed to knocking it for what it's not. And how often do you see all the NHL names that came through the American Hockey League? And they promote that. They promote that, hey, guys went from here and won Stanley Cups. Guys went from here and played in the NHL. They're proud of that.
There's also guys that have had Hall of Fame American Hockey League careers. John Paddock being one. He's in the AHL Hall of Fame.
Yep. I used to
Seems respectable to me.
I used to love watching that North American versus the world skills competition that the American Hockey League always put on. That was cool. And it was on TSN. I loved it.
Well, it's just the big networks are moving on from the CFL in this country. And it is a bloody crying shame.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I know. The website rodpeterson.com has now done 28 million all-time hits covered in the CFL. Not exclusively, but giving it a lot of coverage. Three Down Nation, exponentially more than that. There are still millions of people that want the coverage. So we'll do it.
Yeah.
Todd Urdacu writes in all caps, thank you, Rod, for what? What's he referring to?
In general,
thank you. Brett Upton, I stuck up for the CFL when I lived near Toronto. There is a small Argos following, but the rest think it's a bush league. But here's the thing about Toronto. The NFL thinks you're bush league. Like, we want to get right down to it. The Raptors, until they actually won the whole damn thing, they had one of the worst brands in the NBA. I think it was the Memphis Grizzlies and the Toronto Raptors. They laughed at Toronto.
Yeah.
I don't know why everybody gets their knickers in a knot because Toronto doesn't care about us. Who cares? I don't care. Why would we care? Who are they? New York laughs at Toronto. Thinks they're a small town.
Yep.
Kelly McDonald writes in, says, Don Cherry, AHL always, he always mentioned the AHL. Yes, he did. And I read all of Grape's books. Yeah, that's how we knew about the American Hockey League. Now that I think about it, I was reading Don Cherry's books.
Rochester Americans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All those great stories of Don Cherry. Thanks for reminding me of that, Kelly McDonald. From Piss Jug, writing from Saskatoon. Thanks for the laughs, and thanks for the distractions for the week, boys. See you next week. From the Jug in Saskatoon. Oh, and Tyler clarifies what he's thanking me for, saying that there's no shame in being a feeder to the NFL. Sorry, I should have clarified. There's no shame in it. But here's the thing. We're not going to make any headway in promoting the CFL until the CFL figures out what it is. And it doesn't know. I think at one time it did know. As a matter of fact, I know at one time it's lost its way.
Yep. Get back on the path.
Colin in Ottawa, can we put one more clip up and then we'll go? Because somebody looks hungry. It's Paul.
I am hungry.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. Colin in Ottawa says the CFL suffers from Canadian inferiority syndrome. Is that the CIS? Where if our neighbors down south don't know or respect something made or developed in Canada, then many Canadians think that is not worth respecting, especially in the Toronto-Montreal corridor. Thank you, Colin. What's hilarious about that is people want to sit and bitch about Trump and all the horrible things that are going on in America, but then turn around and because we're not accepted in America, we suck. What do you want?
Yeah.
So Canadian. Be yourself, and who gives a rat's ass about what anybody else thinks? Thank you.
Good advice.
I got to get off my soapbox. It's about to break. Sask Snow Beef. I'm going to take the Sask Snow Beef Challenge this weekend.
Okay.
Are you in?
Yes.
And before we talk about that, let's do the prospect profile. Our Sask Snow Beef prospect feature where we profile players every week is Riley Height, formerly of the Saskatoon Contacts, and I guess he'll play there next year. He was drafted this week by the Prince George Cougars, second overall pick in the 2020 WHL Bantam Draft. His teammate Braden Yeager went third overall to the Moose Jaw Warriors. From Mark Lamb, Prince George Cougars general manager, this is what he said about his star pick. An elite talent that'll be a big piece for our team for the next several seasons. Riley Height of the Saskatoon Contacts is our Sask Snow Beef WHL prospect feature. And I'll say this, I'm very happy for the farmers and the producers. Because not that things are great, things have never been totally great for them, but they're at least getting better because people need to eat and they're enjoying the natural food and Sask Snow Beef. They literally can't keep it on the shelves at Local and Fresh. Last we heard, they stocked the shelves and they sold out. Then they stocked the shelves again and then they sold out because of Sask Snow Beef. It's superior beef. It's like Wagyu beef. You've heard of Kobe beef where they give the cattle the massage. This is very similar. It's superior marbling, superior taste. We've had it. We love it. And the Sask Snow Beef Challenge, you know it better than me.
Yeah.
Tell folks what it is.
Yeah, they're encouraging you to use local ingredients. It doesn't even have to be snow beef, but to create a dish, create a meal, use your creativity, have some fun, hit up the grill, do whatever you do, take some pictures, videos, post it on social media, tag Snow Beef in it, and there's going to be some great prizes. I believe there's a charity component with the food banks and whatnot involved in it. There's going to be an amateur side of the competition and a professional side to it. You only have the rest of the month, though, so it's done at the end of April.
Got a week left.
Yeah, I've got steaks in the freezer, so I'm going to pull them out and put something together.
Please check out Sask Snow Beef on Instagram. The whole contest is there. The prizes that you can win are on there. Photos of it, all from Ian and our friends at Sask Snow Beef. And I'll end it on this. Ken in Saskatoon texts in, says, awesome football Friday show, Rod. Once again, fantastic interviews with a diverse group of great guests. Credit to Clark for the guests. It is correct. Frenzy is a treasure. Stay safe and have a great weekend. From Jason and Red Deer, have a great weekend, gang, and please don't inject yourself with bleach. You got to watch the news to know what he's talking about there. We're done. See you Monday, 10 a.m. Mountain, right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.